Welcome to the dark. My name is Scott Swenson, and this is A Scott in the Dark. And this episode is all about opening night of haunted attractions. And the reason I'm doing this, of course, is because for some of the projects that I've been working on, tonight is opening night. For those of you who are listening to this far, far in the future, this is actually being recorded on October 2nd, 2020. So let's start by saying there are some opening nights that some people are missing out on completely. There are some opening nights that look very, very different from the way their haunted attractions have looked in the past. And that is certainly the case with me. But there are still opening nights. There are still events that are happening, whether they have been completely retweaked or they have been made significantly safer for the guests or a little bit of both. I think that we, again, recognize, and you've heard from other podcasts, mine included, that Halloween is not dead. It's just different. So what I'm going to do is, here's the kind of the layout for the show. So you can, you know, fast forward over the stuff you don't want to listen to. Fast forward. Can't you tell I'm an old guy? Because I'm still thinking tape. Yep. Old fast forward. Anyway, you can go past the stuff that you don't want to listen to. But I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of opening nights and what they mean to a haunt and a cast. And then I'm actually going to record segments at opening nights of two of the projects that I'm actually working on this year. Creatures of the Night at Zoo Tampa, which is a lovely family-friendly event that is filled with super cute moments where they startle the giggles out of you. And then I'm going to move on and record a segment at another project I'm working on here in Tampa, which is Undead in the Water at the American Victory Ship. For those of you who are already newsletter subscribers, email newsletter, you've already seen the member-exclusive content that I actually shot in the engine room at Undead in the Water, and so hopefully you're excited about that particular experience. And some of you may have heard we had our media night at Undead in the Water a couple nights ago, so some of you may have already heard some reviews. They seem to be very positive. People really seem to like it, so hopefully that will continue, you know, on opening night tonight. But let's kind of look at opening nights in general and recognize why they are so important and what can be done to make them slightly less painful or hectic or crazy. Let's talk about some of the issues that come up. You know, obviously this year is very different, and we've talked, you know, pandemic and personal protective equipment into the ground. I'll mention it probably when we get out on site at the two different haunts, but I'm not going to get into that now because we all know that is hopefully unique to this year, although I think that's unlikely. I think it's something that we'll probably be living with in some capacity for a long, long time. And who knows, it may just become, the next time I do this next year, this may just become the next normal where people just automatically think, are we wearing masks? Are we, you know, let's get our hand sanitizer out. We can only batch. There's no such thing as a conga line haunted attraction any longer. And, you know, and obviously those issues are also very regional. There's some states that are saying, yeah, go ahead. And there's other states that are saying, no, not at all. And I totally understand that. And I'm not going to get political about it. So follow your local guidelines and make certain that you're doing it in the safest possible way that you can. Because honestly, as many, many haunts have already proven, if you do it safely and you advertise that you're doing it safely, people will come out. They're ready to come out and experience Halloween. One of the haunted attractions, their ticket sales, and this is not one that I'm involved with, but one of the haunted attractions I was talking to, their ticket sales are actually up this year from last year because they're doing time ticketing and really pushing to advance sales. So there are some people who are recognizing, ooh, if we do this right, it's not going to be the catastrophic year we thought it was going to be. Now, granted, that is for smaller, independent haunted attractions. The big guys, the theme parks, yeah, this is probably a good year, in my opinion, probably a good year to lay back just a little bit. Because we've all been to those events, and I've been involved in those events intimately for about 15 years. And the only way they work is if you are incredibly crowded. And this is not the year to be incredibly crowded. So for not talking about the pandemic stuff, I've kind of droned on a little bit too much. So let's move on to some of the other things that happen on every opening night of a haunted attraction. First of all, there's excitement. I mean, everybody is excited to open. Usually it's a combination of nervousness, excitement, and exhaustion, because you've been either building the haunt or rehearsing the haunt or lighting the haunt or putting audio in the haunt. And if you're an independent haunt owner, you've probably been doing all of those things. And you've had maybe 3 hours sleep in the last 2.5 weeks. So you're tired, you're cranky, your voice sounds a little gravelly. And you can probably hear my voice sounds a little gravelly. I've been in rehearsals for, like I said, two different attractions. So I've been doing some late nights. Not nearly as many late nights as I used to. But I'm also older, so I have an excuse. But the idea is, it's going to be a time of nervousness and excitement and enthusiasm. My caution there is, because you're tired and you're excited, make sure that you, or more importantly, your cast, does not make bad choices. Because the last thing you want to do on opening night is injure a guest. And especially now, where people are concerned about safety even more than they always have been. So just make sure that you have that moment of zen with your cast to say, you know, be out there, get out there, be snarly, be horrible, be wretched, scare the heck out of them, but don't make unsafe choices. And that's so much easier to do. Excuse me, so much easier to do when you're tired and excited. So just remind your cast, that's probably something to keep in the back of their heads. When I'm training actors, one of the things that I like to do more than anything, and those of you who have read my book, Follow the Story, you know how important it is for me to incorporate the guests into the storyline. And so with that said, opening night is the first time the last cast member arrives, which are the guests. And once all of the people have been trained to figure out who they are in the story, now is the first time they really get to incorporate all of those strange, unexplained, or until now fictional cast members. Because during the rehearsal process, we can only pretend to be guests for so long. And so now, tonight, that last cast member shows up. For example, in one of the haunted attractions at Creatures of the Night at Zoo Tampa, all of the guests are new recruits for the Time Anomaly Containment Corps. And so now the performers, who are the TACC officers, the TAC officers, they now have someone to talk to and to act as though they're recruits and make them feel immediately involved in the story. And so I'm very curious to see how that's gonna play out tonight. But up until now, no matter how well you rehearse, you haven't had your missing cast member. And that's the guests. So, again, keep that in mind, because I think that makes for a really fun evening. And that's, to me, when the houses really start to come alive, is when they start to get guests. Or scare zones, or whatever your venue or event is this year. I think it's important to recognize things will go wrong on opening night. Just accept that up front. Do everything you can to prevent it. Obviously, do everything. Be as proactive as you possibly can, but recognize that things will go wrong. Now, part of that being proactive is have a kit or a team together that can handle all that stuff. You know, if you don't have a Makita and duct tape and zip ties in a bag or on your stage manager's person, then you're probably not prepared, because something's going to go wrong. You should probably include a first aid kit in that too, obviously. But just recognize that things are going to go wrong, and go into it with the right attitude. Take good deep breaths and recognize that this is the first night of many in most cases, and you know, anywhere from 11 to 30 nights, you can fix it. You can make it right. Hopefully, if you're ready to open. Now, I don't think any haunter is ever believes that they are truly 100% ready to open. At least good haunters, because they're really passionate about what they do and they want to make everything work. But one thing happened to me during our media night and our friends and family night for one of the haunts that I'm working at. I was frustrated walking through it because I kept thinking, oh, well, that's not quite what I wanted it to be. And that's not finished. And wait, where's that actor? Or why are they doing it that way? Or whatever. And then people were coming out and just raving about it, saying it was super fun and amazingly cool. And I realized I was seeing what wasn't there. The guests were seeing what was there. So recognize that. Recognize that the guests don't see the thing that you didn't finish. They see the thing that you did. So recognize that. You can still continue to build. You can still continue to add. You know, most haunts are weekend-based or weekend-centric, at least. So you'll have a couple nights off so you can get back in and, you know, tweak and fix and make nice. And you're going to want to do that anyway because now that you've got guests, you're going to see how things work. You know, if you just open your haunt and walk away going, well, it's running, I don't have to worry about it, which nobody does. Nobody does that. But if you do, okay, that's one way to do it. I think you're missing an opportunity because no matter how well you think your things are going to work, the guests are really the litmus test. They're really the people who are going to say, oh, gosh, that works incredibly well. Or, wow, that doesn't work at all. And if you're like most haunted attractions that I've worked for, it is very rare that every single person likes the same thing. We did a quick focus group after one of our walkthroughs with a very, very broad demographic of people. And it was interesting that some people's favorite thing was some people's least favorite thing and vice versa. That's going to happen. And actually, that's probably not a bad thing because that means you've got something that everybody really likes. And you're pushing the bar, you're pushing the limit enough so that people are finding things either too scary or unpleasant or lame. But as we all know, the same thing doesn't scare everyone. So be prepared for those kinds of reactions that people are going to, some people are going to love this and hate that. And then the next one that comes in hates the thing that the first person loved and loves the thing that the first person hated. Use that as a tool. Don't use it as a way to tear yourself down. Don't use it as a way to immediately be knee-jerk and change everything. But look at the comments as a whole and recognize that they're going to be inconsistent. And then eventually you have to make, and if they are consistent, you know, if they're all consistently bad, you have a problem. And admit that to yourself and then jump into recovery mode, whatever that means. If everything comes in, oh, it was great, it was stellar, everything was wonderful, look for more critical people. We don't learn from our successes. We learn from those things that we didn't perform to the highest ability. So if you have somebody come out of your haunt and say, oh, everything was perfect, then ask them, what's the one thing we could improve on? Because that will help you throughout the course of your season. And again, accept it. Don't make excuses for it. Accept it openly. And you can always filter it later. So just accept it right up front. Because tonight's the night you can do that. And tonight's the night that you still have time to fix it before your run's over. So think about it on opening night like that. One of my favorite quotes, and I'm sorry for I'll protect the identity of this person. Okay. But years ago, I worked with a tech director who would look at the group of stage managers that we had for a big theme park haunted attraction. I'm narrowing this down just a little bit too much, maybe. Anyway, he would look at the stage managers and he would say, tonight, look for things to break. We had to explain to the stage manager that was not a invitation to go out and break things. That was look for things that can be broken. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. We were all bleary eyed and punchy. And when he said, look for things to break, I think three of the stage managers stood up and went over to a table, picked up a pencil and just snapped it in half and said, you mean like that? So anyway, I do think it's good advice. And that is, you know, when you build things, obviously build them sturdy, build them as guest proof as possible, but also design them to be repaired. Because no matter how sturdy you think you're building something, the thing that you think, oh my gosh, they could never break that, it will get broken. So make sure that you build it so that you can repair it, not if, but when it finally breaks. And the perfect example of that is, you know, we all use or many of us use barrels because they're a cheap, loud, haunt building material. You know, we'll line a whole thing with barrels. And of course, you've got actors who are pounding on these barrels. I have literally seen in 15 nights, a 98-pound actress pound a barrel into a flat pancake. So those things that you think never could happen can happen and will happen. So be prepared for it. And tonight you're going to get, you know, your set, your performer's costumes, your lighting equipment is going to get the test that you need to make sure that it's going to work the rest of the season. Just a little reminder. I know everybody's going to go, duh, Scott, stop telling me. Make sure you keep your foggers filled, because they go really wonky when you don't. So keep your foggers filled. We had one the other night that it had an alarm on it, and we walked by and we just hear, wee, wee. It's like, uh-oh, that's not good. Also, again, when we talk about design to repair, also design to fill, you know, it's opening night's probably a little bit too late, but that's when it's going to be really obvious to you, when you probably shouldn't have put the fogger underneath the 500-pound box because you can't fill it. So, again, I know I'm being way too obvious, but these are the things that even experienced haunters forget about. Make sure that you have people going around and filling that fog fluid all the time. So, little stupid little thing, but it's one of those things that I've seen happen on way too many occasions. And probably most importantly, have fun. Have a good time. Because none of us got into the haunt industry to be independently wealthy. We got into it because we're passionate about it. We got into it because scaring people is fun, let's be honest. And the most important thing is to be safe and follow all the rules and follow all the protocol, but do it in a way that makes it fun to be there. And that's for you, for your technicians, for your actors, for your owners. Everyone should have a good time on opening night. So that, you know, when they run off to the 24-hour diner afterwards in three quarters of their makeup because they only just wiped a baby wipe across their face and they've still got prosthetics on. Of course, the nice thing this year is if you're doing what we're doing in most of our haunts, only half of their face has makeup on it anyway because the other half is covered with a prosthetic or a makeup or a personal protective mask that's kind of built into what they're wearing. But that way they'll have great stories, they'll have great memories, and if you are a haunt owner, and you guys who've done this for a while know, if your cast enjoys what they do, they come back to you year after year, and they perform their jobs much better. They take your notes much better because it's not a job, it's fun. So those are the practical things that I like to think about for opening night. Like I said, this is the afternoon. I'm going to now go off to the various haunted attractions that I'm working on that are opening tonight and do a little recording on site there. So we'll see what I want to talk about while I'm there. But you will hear the sound quality change here in just a moment because I will be recording on my phone. But let's dive in further a little bit into opening night for haunted attractions. So here I am at opening night of Creatures of the Night at Zoo Tampa, and this is a really fun family-friendly event. It starts at 4 or 4:30, depending on, as a staggered opening for certain things, but it's designed in such a way that because the zoo is 90% outdoors, we're able to do things that keep guests socially distanced and also keep all of the employees in masks. And we were able to, what's really cool is all of the costumes for all of the characters actually include masks. And it's funny because, you know, originally we thought this was going to be a challenge and it was going to be something that was a distraction from the characters. But I'm coming up on an area called Pumpkin Palooza, which is filled with happy scarecrows. And that's kind of the goal. And what we discovered is that their masks actually look better than if you were to do makeup, because they're all exactly the same And
look at those scarecrows dance.
And the scarecrows are dancing right now. So but that was actually one of those funny things where we discovered it's actually better now than it was before we did any sort of personal protective equipment or face masks. And they just are adorable. The clowns are the same way. There's clowns around the carousel. There's two outdoor linear haunt experiences that, again, pulsed so that they're physically distanced. There's hand sanitizer everywhere and a bunch of happy people. It's really cool. You know, just like everything else though, with any event that is stretched out over a large area, you have to make sure that you coordinate all of the things getting turned on and turned off at the end of the night. And again, opening night is when you found out, it was when it becomes very obvious, oh, I forgot to have somebody turn on the sound in one of the areas or the lights in one of the areas. But it's just really fun to be here and to see everything finally come to life and come to fruition. But as you can hear in the background, the scarecrows are all dancing to Call in All the Monsters. The other thing that's very interesting about this particular event is it's training guests to be used to time ticketing, because they are required to make reservations ahead of time. They do walk up, but they don't promote it. So it's one of those situations where it's training the audience so they know how many people they're going to have each night. And it also is something that, you know, most events have been trying to incorporate for a very long time, because it makes ticket sales easier, you get the money quicker. And it also makes entry much easier, because all you have to do is show your phone, which has a code on it, and you can just walk right in. You don't have to pick up anything paper. And it's, yay! They finished their dance. And it's also one of those situations where it's more ecological, because there's no printing, there's no paper. So it's super cool. It's super cool. So again, another one of those things that we learned, and it seems to be working beautifully here on opening night at Zoo Tampa at Lowry Park. So there's my first opening night report. Let's see, in just a few minutes, we'll zip over and find out what's going on at Undead in the Water at the American Victory Ship, also here in Tampa, Florida. So now I'm at opening night for Undead in the Water, and it is, again, it's a great night here in Tampa and all things are going well. The coolest thing about this is, again, it's a site-specific haunt, and I'm getting gifts from the people who own it, so it's great. This is wonderful. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Apparently they're happy. Apparently they don't think I'm like useless and worthless. So it's a great looking shirt. Thank you so much. That's Bill Kuzmic. He's the guy in charge and the guy I work for. Anyway, but everything is going really well at this opening night. You know, obviously we're learning what things don't work, and we're learning what things. Need a little extra love, but for the most part, it's really going well, and the guests are commenting positively pretty much every time they exit about how much it's improved over the past years, and all is going well here at Undead in the Water. Now, Undead in the Water, remember, is the haunt that is on the American Victory Ship, which is actually a floating World War II cargo vessel that is docked. Almost permanently. It's not moored. It is docked. It is still a floating vessel, but it's behind the Florida Aquarium. So if you happen to be in Tampa and you want to check it out, that's the place to go. But the cool thing that we had no idea whether it would work or not, that is working like gangbusters here, is the time ticketing system. They've just embraced time ticketing. There are no tickets for sale. You can only buy online. And if you do show up and there's availability, there's a QR code that you can just scan into your phone and get the ticket on your phone, and it works out incredibly well. The other thing that's really cool about this particular haunt that's working great on our opening night is we've incorporated hand sanitizer into the story, because the whole experience is all about the decontamination of the ship after the zombie plague has taken over. So we've got not only every guest getting hand sanitizer put on their hands as a test to see if they've been exposed to the zombie plague, and then, of course, the cure to the zombie plague at the end is another dose of hand sanitizer. So
we're getting every single guest who comes through to get hand sanitizer, to get sanitized and cleaned up, as well as all of the performers are wearing masks, and that's great because it's, you know, it's all set in a medical facility, and the zombie masks are of course bloody and ripped up, or appear to be ripped up, even though they're actually fully protective. The other thing that's really cool about, you know, doing the site ship is that you've got all this great natural scenery, and it's dark and it's creepy and it's just enhanced when you've got a great cast. The other thing that Undead in the Water has done that I think is really awesome is we actually have a cast of six performers that stroll the entire length of the ship, and they're dressed in decontamination suits, and they have cleaning solution and rags, and they're cleaning the handrails throughout the course of the night, because again, it's a decontamination theme, so we're able to get the decon team to not only clean but also scare. And that was one of those things that we didn't know whether it would work until our opening night. And I am very pleased to say that since we were able to work them into the theme of the haunt, that having people who clean and scare is, so far on our opening night, 100% successful. In fact, they're some of my favorite scares because we never know exactly where they're going to be. And since they have a little bit more free roam, they have shown up in places that we just simply did not expect. So, very excited about that on the opening night here at the American Victory Ship, and it's a gorgeous night. I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of people, when you think about haunted attractions, depending on where you are and you know, what part of the country or what part of the world you're in, you think about haunted attractions as, oh, it's fall, it's getting cool. Well, here in Florida, it's normally not, but tonight is a great night. It is, there's a nice breeze coming off the water. It is probably about, I'm guessing, maybe 74, 75 degrees, and it is currently about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's just a great night, and it's a great way to kick off this event. So that's opening night from American Victory Ship. So once I get back in the studio, maybe we can wrap this thing up and move on and close the books on another episode of A Scott in the Dark.
So we're back in the studio, and another opening night in my own personal haunt career journey is done, and I'm very excited that both events opened so incredibly well. As we've talked about throughout the show, opening nights are when you really find out whether things work or not. And with every haunted attraction that I've ever worked on, you just get all geared up to open, and you know that's when the public thinks your work starts. But as we all know, it's actually when your work is nearing its completion. Opening night for most people who work in the haunted attraction industry is the beginning of the end for the season, and actually the time to start planning for next year. I hope that all of the casts for every haunted attraction that was able to open this season are celebrating and having a good time and recognizing, you know, what they were able to accomplish and what was really strong and good about what they were able to do. And hopefully they continue to be safe and entertaining, and that this unusual circumstance that we happen to be in 2020 continues to expand our understanding of what we can do, what we should do, and recognize that it's not a horrible handcuff situation when we have to do things in a safer manner, or at least a different manner, but that sometimes it's actually a benefit. Sometimes confinements can open up whole new doors and whole new avenues for us to explore, whether that's in the form of personal protective equipment or time ticketing or whatever. So a lot of the elements that we talked about tonight, I think this opening night proved that they will work, they can work, and there are certainly ways that we can continue to explore and refine as we move forward. The one thing I will say is opening night is not the end of the event. I said it's the beginning of the end, but you need to make certain that your cast, your staff, your crew continues to make every single night as good or better than opening night. So keep working towards making the season better and more exciting for our guests, because that's going to help our industry as a whole. So before I go, I do have to talk about a couple of things, just to make sure everybody is, you know, gets all the information they need. If you are not a subscriber to my email newsletter, please do that. It gives you a lot of insider information. Like the last month's actually had an insider video from Undead in the Water that we were at opening night tonight. And it was all about the engine room, which is kind of cool. But this is members only stuff. The newsletter contains updates about my podcasts, about my work outside of the haunt industry, in theme park, etc. It shares links to things that I've discovered in my research that I just think are kind of fun. Sometimes it has links to my artwork, my books, whatever. But it only comes out once a month, so you don't have to worry about me either selling your email information or spamming you until you get totally sick of me. But the easiest way to sign up for my newsletter is to go to my website, scottswenson.com, and right underneath my picture on the landing page, it very simply says, sign up for A Shout in the Dark, which is my monthly newsletter. So, and I also have to give credit where credit is due. Philip Hernandez from Haunted Attraction Network has made that all very possible, and he continues to work with me to handle all the technical side, which I don't understand at all. But I do write it, send it to him, and he plops it in and gets it out to everybody. So hopefully, if you are a member of the newsletter, hopefully you continue to enjoy it. And if you have suggestions, you know, there is a specific newsletter email address that you can use. It is on every one of the newsletters. So that's probably the most direct way to contact me if it's something about the newsletter or about the show. I have had to reduce the amount of time I talk about or write about appearances, because obviously appearances have gone a bit slim right now because so many things have gone virtual. But I do have a couple of virtual appearances coming up. I will be sitting on a panel for the Halloween panel for TEA, which is the Themed Entertainment Association. TEA is doing a Halloween panel on October 13th. How very, very appropriate. And I'll be sitting on a panel. I represent East Coast. I represent the East Coast on a panel. It's East Coast and West Coast. And we'll be talking a lot about how there are differences this season in the haunted attraction industry and what's working. And it's a bunch of crazy people. It's moderated by Ray Keim from Orlando, who has a huge history in haunted attractions and theme parks. And the panel is just a bunch of really fun people. We had a preliminary Zoom call and we were joking. We said, we actually should have recorded this because it's just us, you know, chatting. And some people are old friends of mine and some people I just met. So it's going to be a very interesting panel. So if you get a chance to do that, it's, I believe, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on October 13th. So check that out. And also, I will be teaching a seminar at the virtual education a virtual education seminar for the virtual IAAPA Expo this year. So originally, I thought I wasn't going to get to do anything with IAPA in November because they had shifted from a live experience to a virtual one. But my seminar was selected to be one of the virtual classes, and I will be doing a seminar called "Creating Worlds: Writing and Installing Audience-Driven Immersive Entertainment." And it's not just haunts, but it is, you know, I always say that haunted attractions are the gateway drug for immersive theater. So we will be talking about a lot of stuff as to how to create truly immersive experiences that guests can participate in and enjoy. And it's how to write them, how to cast them, how to train your actors. And hopefully you'll be able to pull some nuggets out of that. So I don't know the date of that, but it is coming up in November. So if you are IAPA members, check it out, because I will be there as well. And finally, in my, you know, chunk of promotional crap, there is a brand new podcast that I'm so excited to be a part of. I mentioned Philip Hernandez earlier. Philip and I are co-hosting a podcast called Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. And it takes us out of our haunt comfort zone and puts us into the world of theme park in general, which, of course, you know, I've had gobs and gobs of time that I've spent in theme parks, both working and playing. But this particular podcast focuses on the business side of the attractions industry. And basically, it's 30 minutes long. What we do every single week, it's a weekly podcast. Every single week, we take the stories that we think are most important from the previous week, and we discuss them. And, you know, we don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think we certainly ask some interesting questions and share some interesting perspectives and point of view. So if you're interested in that, we are that green tagged Theme Park in 30 is available on pretty much all platforms. And if you'd like to subscribe to that podcast, you can go to greentaggedshow.com. All right. It's time for me to actually get some sleep, because we all know that after opening night, that's what you really want to do. So until next time, this is Scott Swenson saying, rest in peace.